Hey everyone, welcome back to Die Hard Discipleship. I'm Kevin, your host. Thank you for joining us. First, I just want to just bring up our subjects. We're going to go over some creation versus evolution, some of the differences, and why it's important that we dig down and find out what the truth is. The next thing I'm going to bring up is we have memory scriptures we're going over. Last time I brought up Genesis 1:1, and I brought up Genesis 1:27. Now I'm going to add Psalm 24:1, which is the earth is the Lord's, everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And Acts 17:28, in him we move, we live, and have our being. And so these scriptures are just describing that everything is God's. We live in him, we're created by him, and that's what these verses are referring to. So keep hiding those on your heart when we go over meditation on God's word. I'm going to bring all these back up, but just keep, should be at four verses. I'm going to keep adding a couple, one or two every time I come on. And so just like I said, just keep building a repertoire that just keep putting bullets in your holster to just to fill up your mind, your heart with God's word. So with that, I'm going to get into it. I'm going to go over an introduction to creation versus evolution. So when I was in school, like most of us probably went to public school. I was taught about evolution school and that there was really no other alternative. It just wasn't even mentioned. And so unless you grew up in a Christian family or someone you knew, which I didn't, I just walked away with that and just walked away that, hey, we came from monkeys. Hey, we live millions and millions of years. There's Earth is millions of years old. 4.6 is, one of the figures that's been around for a while. We came from a big bang where non-matter blew up and all of a sudden life appeared. Primordial soup, a watery environment. Again, where just things appeared out of life from non-life. And I just walked away going, hey, this is where I came from. This is who I'm part of. So as I grew up into my faith, I turned to the Lord Jesus. I started studying my Bible, and it says, the Bible, he created all things. So in him we move, we live, we have our being. And I started questioning that, going, what's, these seem to be contradictory, and I found out they were. And so I found out there's a difference, and they competed with one another. Even hearing Christians that believe in long, long ages, that they still the views are competing. And it did not make much sense. So I had to dig deep. I had to ask a lot of questions. I've read a lot of books. And so I'm excited to share some of that with you. But with creation, I'd say most scientists probably recognize that the Earth, the universe had a beginning. You can't look and see things deteriorating and go, there was no beginning. If we are deteriorating, then it had to start somewhere. And I think most people would recognize that. They would also recognize that the Earth is very unique in a lot of different things. Life is precisely constructed in a way unlike any unknown planet. They don't even know life outside of a planet Earth. So the Earth is created just right for life. It's got a lot of contributors. The Earth's axis is tilted 23.4 degrees. That causes seasons and epochs and environments, which is unknown again to any other planet. The atmosphere pressure and temperatures are just right to sustain liquid water that covers nearly 70% of the Earth's surfaces, which keeps as a temperature regulation. To keep the seasons going, the warm, the cool, the cold. And so it makes the planet inhabitable. And so Earth is unique, is the point. There's also a protective ozone layer that keeps out the UV rays from just being harmful to living organisms. And the Earth is just right, like I said, for life, unlike any other planet. Now, in saying that, let's jump over to evolution. I just want to go over some things about evolution, but some of the definitions of evolution, it's a process by which different kinds of organisms are thought to have developed and diversified from earlier forms during the history of the Earth. A second definition, the gradual development of something, especially from a simple to a more complex form. If you look per Google, the Earth formed about 4.6 billion years ago, out of a mixture of dust and gas around the sun, it grew larger thanks to countless collisions between dust particles, asteroids, and other growing planets. There's also a primordial soup hypothesis, which just simple organic molecules formed in a warm, watery environment and eventually self-assembled into the first cells. Then you also have the Big Bang Theory. Again, just all this matter, the universe was compressed into one time point until it finally exploded, and then the first cells, first life came from that. There's also microevolution versus macroevolution. Microevolution is like when Darwin saw the finches on the Isles of Galapagos, and they have different sized beaks, longer, shorter, fatter. They adapted with their environment. Macroevolution is when you have an amphibian turning into a bird, turning into an ape, turning into a human. You have these species turning into other species. So you have micro versus macroevolution. Now, some examples of just the time frames, but some articles I just pulled up. Homo sapiens about 300,000 years ago in Morocco. So they believe that some of these first early humans were found in Africa. Archaeologists sifted through an ancient lake bed and found 1.5 million year old tools. 1.5 million year old tools. So again, this long span of evolution. Early humans found another one living in Eurasia 2 million years ago. 2 million years ago. Again, saying that early humans were 2 million years ago. The other thing is a dinosaur skeleton found some 70 million years old. Again, long, long time frames for evolution, whether it's a dinosaur, a tool, early humans, our ancestors. And you can find articles like this all over the internet. Now, some terms of evolution. They have terms like vestigial organs or organs that evolutionists claim have no use due to evolutionary change over time. An example would be the appendix or the whale pelvic bones. They believe that, hey, because of evolution, these are no longer useful. Another key character in evolution is Charles Darwin, the most well-known person to introduce evolution to the world. Now, there were some other key players, but one of his quotes I found interesting was he said, and I'm quoting the Evolution Conspiracy, page 63, I did not then in the least doubt the strict and literal truth of every word in the Bible. Whilst on board the Beagle, which is the ship he was on, to go to the islands, I was quite orthodox, and I remember being heartily laughed at by several of the officers for quoting the Bible as unanswerable authority on some point of morality. So it's interesting, as Darwin had a background of maybe being a clergyman, reading his Bible, and yet now he's made fun of by these people that are on the boat with him, and he turned a corner because of it, or maybe one reason because of it. Maybe that's one reason. One of the things he wrote was was called On the Origin of Species, 1859, by Charles Darwin. Another major thing that happened too was the Scope Trial in 1925, evolution on trial from the classroom. So, some of the results of evolution, because you have a cell turning into the next line to multicell to an amphibian, to eventually getting to a monkey, and eventually getting to a human. There's a thought that we come from animals. And because of that, evolutionary thinking still is pretty predominant throughout our world in different cultures, including ours here in the US. Hinduism, religious belief based on the same rationale, where their rats and cows are sacred, but even young baby women will be put to death because they're not male. So you're not as good as, like evolution says, you're not as fit as a male, so you're going to be put to death. We also have examples. You have the Untouchables in India. The Untouchables are a caste system, the lowest caste system, where they're treated sometimes in ungodly ways. They live in dumpsters. But because of the mindset that people, they're not like us, because of that mindset, they're treated lower than people that would be above that caste system, and they're called the Untouchables. It's really sad. Another thing, is during the Columbine shooting, Eric, one of the shooters, wore a shirt that read natural selection. He was known to promote and like Hitler, and he went knowingly, verbally, after people that were black, Christian people, and people that were not like him because he thought they were lower than he was. Abortions has this mindset as well. If you look at Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, she has comments out there that basically say, hey, let's get rid of the black population. And so Planned Parenthood was started to get those types of communities and to extinguish their young. Another example I want to bring up is the band Maroon 5. The band Maroon 5 did a song called Animals. Now, I'm not asking, I'm not telling you or recommending to go watch the video, but the video is about a gentleman who works around a butcher shop where a woman walks in to get whatever her order is, and then he ends up stalking her. And eventually the video gets bloody, like he not only stalks her, but he kills her. And the whole video, the whole song is based on animals, animal instincts. We must, smell you from miles and miles away. And then he acts upon it by putting her to death. Again, I wouldn't recommend going watching the video. But with the evolutionary thought that we came from animals, you're going to have these kind of real results in the world. And it's really sad. And the Bible says, hey, have nothing to do with wickedness. Men are going to call what's evil good and what's good evil. He says, I will set no wickedness before my eyes. Says the man of violence is not going to stand before the Lord. And so we don't want to worship and serve the creation. We want to serve, worship and serve the creator. And the Bible says, Paul says in Romans 1, he says, and even though they knew the truth of God, they put it aside and they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. This creature says four-legged animals, crawling things, things like that. So Paul's saying, even back then, in around 100 AD and before, when he wrote this, people are changing the truth of God for a lie, and they worship and serve the creation, animals, and not the creator. And it says, because of this creation, men are going to be without excuse. So let's go and talk about biblical creation now. In the Bible, it says the beginning of the world, scientists, sorry, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says everything is His. It says the earth is the Lord's. Again, Psalm 24:1, our memory verse. The earth is the Lord's, everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It says in Amos 4:13, the mountains and wind are His. It says the gold and silver is His in Malachi. It says the animals are His, Psalm 50. It says the hearts of every man are His, Psalm 33:15. It says every soul is His, Ezekiel 18:4. It says our bodies are His, 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, Paul says, don't you know you're a temple of the Holy Spirit and that you've been bought at a price? Therefore, glorify God with your body, because your body is not your own. You've been bought with the price, it says. And it says, in Him, again, another memory verse, Acts 17, 28. In Him we move, live, and have our being. So the Bible says everything is God's. Everything, God created everything. The mountains, the stars. He says He named the stars. It says He spoke it in the place. Again, the word universe, one sentence, one word. He spoke it, and it appeared to be. Now with that, let's go over some of the order. Go over some of the order of evolution. The order of evolution starts with non-living matter. See, non-living matter, the Big Bang, all this non-living matter came together. Primordial soup, non-living matter, together in a watery soup. It became protozoans, became metazoan invertebrates. The next one is vertebrate fishes. And then you have amphibians, and they became reptiles, and they became birds, and they became fur-bearing quadrupeds. And then apes, and the apes started walking upright and became man. And I would add one more. And now man is transferring, now trying to become AI. That's the word of evolution. Now there's a couple of differences depending on what kind of list you look at, but those are some of the things that we must consider. The order of creation, day one, God separated the light from the darkness, made light and darkness separate. Day two, says that he made day two the heavens. Say there's three different heavens: the heavens that we could see, the stars and moon, then the heavens, space outside upon earth, and then they say there's heavens where God dwells and reigns. Day three, land and vegetation. Day four, the heavenly host, sun, moon, stars. Day five, we have sea animals, great whales or sea monsters, the largest animals that ever lived. And day six, cattle. Oh, I'm sorry, and birds on day five. Then you have cattle on day six, cattle, creeping things, beasts, man. And then day seven, God rests. So you could see the time frames are a little different. We're going to go over time frames on another podcast. But God made everything in these 6 days. That means everything should be here. That includes dinosaurs. That includes people. That includes angels. That includes the heavenly host. He says he made it all in these 7 days. You can read it, Genesis 1. That's a lot different from evolution. Evolution saying millions of years these cells have gone, and they've gone and got greater and greater and greater in their maturity, in their development. So let's look at some of the differences. I just want to point out some of these differences. Some of these differences include, first of all, you have God created things versus natural process. Again, you have God creating these things versus natural process. The second thing is creation's complete. There's nothing else that's coming up. There's nothing else that's going on. Creation's done, but evolution is still continuing. It's still ongoing. And then you have some things like oceans were before land versus evolution was land before oceans. Or you have first life on land versus first life in oceans. So all stars were made on the fourth day. And in evolution, stars were made at various times. That's a big difference. Creation was in 6 days versus, again, evolution has been millions and millions years or eons. And there's more on that to come. Then you have marine life all at once versus marine life slowly developing. So you have the big whales, you have the sharks all made at one time versus, hey, they start at one single cell. You also have man's body from the dust, because when he created man, he created him from the dust. But now you have man created from a monkey. Want to go a little more into that. Man created from a monkey. You know the pictures of the monkeys in our science books in school where they start low, they start walking, get higher, get taller, and all of a sudden it's an erect man. I want to go over some of these because a lot of them are a lie. Nebraska man was from, the whole picture was made from one pig's tooth. You can look this up. Java man with a small piece of the top of the skull, a fragment of the left thigh bone, and three molar teeth collected over a range of 70 feet in a riverbed mixed with bones from other extinct animals. That's how the whole thing was created. Was from three molar teeth, a top of a skull, a fragment of a left thigh, over 70 feet in a riverbed mixed with extinct animals. We have Peking man. The jawbone actually belonged to an ape. The teeth were filed down and was fraudulently messed with and fooled the experts. It was fraudulent. No. Neanderthal man, said to be in the middle of a monkey, and a man was later determined to be fully man and completely human. So this guy was said to be in the middle, but yet later found to be completely human, Neanderthal man. And then we have Lucy. Lucy, 40% complete skeleton. This is about 2.5 feet high. The knee joint used to prove she walked on legs was found in a strata 200 feet lower and 2 miles away from one another. So some of the bones were found 200 feet lower strata, 2 miles away. And yet, This is a bone. These are bones that are used to say, hey, it came from monkeys. Based on the Bible and the order of creation, life has all forms of energy. If God created the heavens, land, vegetation, and then with the heavenly host, sun, moon, stars, they have all light, all energy that they need to thrive. And then come the creeping things and day six. So now we have the birds, bees to pollinate, or whatever animals you need to pollinate the flowers to keep them going. But they didn't just start from seeds, they just appeared. And more than likely, they appeared just bearing fruit. The order of the animal is also another great difference between evolution and creation, just the order which we went through. Man was originally a vegetarian versus man a meat eater. Man was originally a vegetarian. In the Bible, you do not see any death until the fall of man, which is in chapter 3. And that's the first death of an animal you see, where God clothed them with the skins of an animal. There's no death prior to that. But evolution says there's death all the way up because it's the survival of the fittest, leading all the way up to that point. Those are two very conflicting views of each of them. The order of animals, according to the Bible on the sixth day, are land animals, reptiles, insects, which contradict evolutionary order according to which insects evolved long before land animals and reptiles. So God is saying insects occurred on the sixth day with the creeping things, but yet evolution says no, they occurred long before that, forming into more complex items. Again, very different in their thoughts. Conclusion: based on these facts alone, the two teachings are contradictory and cannot stand up with one another. Based on the Bible and the order of creation, life has all forms of energy, like I already said, to thrive. Water, air, light, plants, chemical materials, and then bugs to pollinate. It's not a surprise to me that the psalmist proclaims 102:25, of old you founded the earth and the heavens are the works of your hands. God founded the earth. God created it. And these views are diametrically opposed to one another. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is life from life. There's been no scientist on this earth that has been able to do an experiment to show that we can get life from non-life. We have some great scientists, Louis Pasteur, creator of the rabies vaccine, father of microbiology, Francesco Redi, using flies. They tried Spallanzani. They tried to bring life from non-life and it didn't work. So if we follow the science, life has to come from life. Life cannot come as evolutionists say. There is no way. Therefore, applying the same scientific principle, life on Earth had to come from some great something that had life, some creator, designer, something with life that had to put into something that's alive. Therefore, applying the same scientific principle, life on Earth, like I said, had to come from something greater. And it's interesting that the Bible, Eve, the word Eve, Adam and Eve means life. But it also says that God has life. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God breathed into his nostrils, meaning he breathed into Adam the breath of life. He gave him life. John 6:33, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. That's he's talking about Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. He says, God has sent me to give life to the world. He also says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. God has life. He has given people life. He's made man in his image. He's given life to them. And now he wants to give eternal life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the life. He's the very essence. Life on earth could not have come from anything else. It can't come from non-life. Those, even based on our own science, has proven that we cannot create things from non-life things. Last verse, 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come, has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Again, another verse to show that God has life. He gives life, and he wants to give eternal life to people. Now, the complexity of creation is mind-boggling. And you have to ask the question, how can these things formed over time? No, there's no answers for these. Not one answer. Let's go over the miracle of birth. You have an individual inside of the mother's womb, a totally watery environment that God, where God says, I've formed you, I've fashioned you, I've made you, I've created you, I've given you your name, I've spoken life into you. And it comes from a totally watery environment. And then upon first breath, now can walk, not walk, but now can breathe in an air-filled environment. Amazing. The eyes are so complex. They're so complex. The hand, we can grab things where robots can't even do what our hands can do, even though we're trying to make them. There was a book, Darwin's Black Box, by Michael Behe. He's an American biochemist. He's Catholic, but he's a creationist. And he talks about the bacterial flagellum that sort of looks like a sperm with a tail. That tail moves as a motor. And he makes a point on a microbiology level that if it was missing any of its part in any time through the evolutionary process, it wouldn't be possible for that to function. And I would say that for all these things. Animals. Let's talk about some of the animals. There's some amazing ones out there. The teeth of a rat are designed to be self-sharpening. They're perfectly fit so that the two top front teeth go behind the bottom two, and they just sharpen as the rat closes and opens its mouth. Amazing. Termites, the king and queen, they lay eggs. They never teach their offspring anything. They build large towers. They build them in relation to magnetic north, which helps with the warming. And if they were the size of humans, their buildings would be as high, a mile high. The trilobite is the very lowest on the fossil levels. However, it's been said by physicists that the eyes have been created by a physicist. Sorry, it's been said by scientists that the eyes are like physics. They're so complex. Trilobite on the lowest level. Also, you have it's called a rufous woodpecker, a woodpecker that eats ants. And then you also have these stinging tree ants that vigorously attack anything that come around as an intruder. However, this woodpecker can go into their home, raise young. The woodpeckers will never bother the ants. The ants will never bother the woodpecker. The ants will continue to take intruders out, keeping that woodpecker protected. And then when the woodpecker's done, they fly out with their young. How is that? How did that develop over time? Just the complexity of it. The writers are very clear in the Bible who they think created the earth. Let me just quote some of these. Job 38:4. God asked him, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." Deuteronomy 10:14. "Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it." Psalm 36, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." David wrote that. "And by the breath of his mouth, all their host." Again, by the breath of his mouth. Few others. Nehemiah 9:6, "You alone, O Lord, you have made the heavens of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them. The heavenly host bows down before you." Lord, Hebrews 1:10, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of earth and the heavens and the worlds of your hands." Acts 17:24, "The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." He made everything. He doesn't dwell in temples. You don't have to go to a temple to worship him. You don't have to do astrology and worship the stars. He made the stars. He named the stars. He says that actually it's detestable to worship the sun, the moon, the stars, and things he created. He says it's detestable. Because why? Because he made them. Don't worship them. Worship him. He's the one that gives life. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory, honor, power, for you created all things, and because of your world they existed and were created. It's caused great men like King David to say, Psalm 145:5, oh, the glorious splendor of your majesty and the wonderful works I will meditate. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. To some, evolution is just a teaching, and they don't know any better. They might not know, understand the implications of the teaching that we come from animals or that we really have no existence. For many, it's a religion because if you believe in a create, if you believe in the creation, and you don't believe in the creator, and you did believe in a creator, you're now under authority. Your body is not your own. Your life is not your own. You are owned by God, and that's difficult for people. All I'm asking you to do is consider some of these things. Just look into them. Let me tell you, some of these things could cost you your life. It's important that we spend the time to search for the truth. Why would God give such strong statements regarding his creation and belief? You know, he tells us, based on this creation, like I've said before, there's no excuse because of his individual attributes, his eternal power says men will be without excuse. But instead, they worship and serve the creation rather than the creator, who's blessed forever because they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And then it says God gives them over to degrading passions. Psalm 14:1 states, the fool says in their heart, there is no God. The fool says in their heart, there is no God. Like I said, studying some of these things can cost you your life, eternal life. So what better way is there to spend than searching for the truth? Thank you so much for listening this time. This is Kevin Kale signing off with Die Hard Discipleship.